Let's just pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your presence with us. And I just pray that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts will now and always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. 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 Well, as Rebecca says, it's the parable of the talents this morning. Last week you had Bishop Harold with the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. This week it's the parable of the talents that we've just heard read from Matthew 25. And I've no idea what Alf Cooper will be preaching about next Sunday, but let me tell you, do not miss it. And if you're somebody who ever gets a little snooze or asleep in church, you will not get it next Sunday morning. So make sure you sleep longer Saturday night, because I've often said Alf Cooper is one of these people who would enthuse a corpse. And many of us remember when he was here the last time, he shared with us about the perfume factory in France. And many of us have never forgotten that when we're so blessed by what he said. Now, as you know, I like little uplifts. And every week I receive little uplifts from different people. And to my wife's horror, I send little uplifts to people. And this is one that I received this week. Just have a look. I think you'll enjoy it. Are we okay for... Oh, yes, there we are. Why is there a picture of an old man in the bathroom? And the wife says, that's a mirror, dear. I won't tell you which day Helen said that to me. And but anyway, I thought that was absolutely brilliant. It's the kind of thing I wish that I'd said first, but I didn't. But I thought you'd enjoy it this morning. Now, why have I shown you that? Well, first of all, because I know you enjoy it as well. Most of you. Some of you are thinking, oh, no, not that again. But anyway, but another reason I'm sharing it is I think some of us like that gentleman get it wrong. And we think that being a Christian is booking a ticket to heaven. And that's how we primarily see being a Christian. We've a reserve ticket for heaven. And somehow we totally miss the whole vision of being a Christian that Jesus has given us in his teaching and that we see throughout the New Testament. And what is that? It's committing ourselves to a life of selfless, Christ-like service here on earth. When the race is complete, still my lips shall replete, not I, but Christ in me. In other words, it's people who have caught this vision of becoming a Christian isn't just a decision, it's lifelong discipleship. This week, one of my great heroes has gone to glory. A man through whom God has taught me so much over the years. He was in his early 90s. A wonderful preacher and Bible teacher, Stuart Briscoe. I'm sure some of you will have heard him in the past. And now in his early 90s, he's gone to heaven. And he was one of these people who had caught the vision of I'm going to serve Christ with the whole of my life until he calls me home or until he returns. And that's the way Jesus wants it to be. And one of the results of not catching that vision of the Christian life is so much potential is unrealized. So much potential is wasted, actually. So much potential never, ever blooms and blossoms. And every church, sadly, has people like that. And we just fritter our lives away and we are wasting God-given talents and abilities. And these are the issues Jesus addresses in this parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. It's unrealized potential. Hear again the teaching of Jesus. To every single disciple has been given talents and abilities. We're not just different personalities. We are all people with gifts and talents and abilities, no matter what we think about ourselves. I sometimes think, you know, we hear a lot on the radio and on TV about unemployment. Thankfully, it's not as high now as it used to be years ago. But do you know where the greatest unemployment is? And the greatest unemployment figures are to be found in the church. Because in many churches, we have sleeping saints rather than men and women who are out on active service for the Lord, running like the athletes that we've been watching in the Commonwealth Games, working hard like the hard-working farmers, to use a couple of the pictures that St. Paul gives us. And what Jesus is talking about in this parable of the talents is the importance of investing what he has given and using what he has given. In one sentence, making the most of life. Why? Why, oh why, do we want to just waste what God has given? You know, the older I get, the more I realize life is so short. It really is so short. And I know this will shock some of you, but I still can't believe I'm not in my 30s and 40s. Even though I go into the bathroom and see a picture of an old man and forget it's the mirror. And, you know, it just goes so quickly. You who are young parents with little toddlers, before you know it, they're leaving home. They're leaving the nest. And for those who have daughters, may I warn you, especially dads, do not think you cease being a supply ship when they become 19 or 20. All right? If you have daughters, friends, it's for life. Okay? But are we using what God has given us? Or are we just wasting it away? Sometimes in the church, our biggest challenge is we bury, like the man in this story Jesus told, we bury the talents and the gifts that God has given, and they're never realized. How heartbreaking. Isn't it heartbreaking when from time to time we see some sporting celebrities with so much ability and genius, but because of the way they're living, that genius is never expressed as wonderfully as it could be. They waste it. You talk to school teachers. School teachers can see the incredible potential in many of those young people they teach, and praise God when it's realized, but it's heartbreaking when sometimes it isn't. And all of that talent is wasted. So that's the context of this story that Jesus tells, that we have heard read for us. Jesus is coming back again. He's helping his disciples to understand, what will we do until I return? And in this parable, he tells us what to do. We're in our waiting to be working. Working for him, working with him, and working in the strength and power he gives us. He tells the story of these three men. Two of them were wise, not like the Christmas story. One of them was incredibly foolish. They were all given gifts by their master. Two realized the potential. One completely wasted what he had received. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, I'm looking for faithfulness and fruitfulness. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his ability. We all have different abilities, and that is fine. Some of us fall into the terrible trap of always comparing ourselves with somebody else. Oh, if I was only like him, if I was only like her, my life would be... Please, don't listen to that. That's a lie of the devil. You have been given, I have been given, gifts and capacities by God that are unique to us. And we can use them or misuse them. The master went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. The one who'd been given the 2 talents went and he made 2 talents more. He did well. But the one who had received the 1 talent went and he dug a hole in the ground and he hid his money there. Have you hidden money anywhere? That resonates, doesn't it? In certain parts of Northern Ireland, there's almost a tradition. We hide the money. Maybe it's in a cupboard somewhere. Hide it from the wife or the husband. Isn't that right? I remember being in a family, and from time to time I would see the man go into a certain place and he'd look around to make sure nobody saw him, but sometimes we did. And he had a wee secret place there. I love the story of the builder was in renovating a house. It was an old house, several hundred years old. And he had to open up a wall to build a new construction as part of the house. And when he opened up the wall, there was a figure standing there with a label round his neck, Irish Hide and Seek Champion, 1869. Well, he was successful in his hiding, that's for sure. But he spent the rest of his life there, that was it. Gone, done, dusted. And some of us are like this man, foolish man. We hide what we've been given, sadly. Now, please remember something. In the first century, talent was not actually a coin. When Jesus was telling this story, when he's talking about talents, he's not actually talking about a coin. A talent was a measure or a weight of money. And so what these three men were given was actually something very, very valuable. It was worth a lot of money if it had been sold. What Jesus is primarily talking about in this talent, in this parable, is we've all received from him. What are we doing with what we have received? In the present Lambeth Conference, which is finishing today, where bishops from all over the Anglican Communion have come together, the conference has been a series of calls, calls to this, calls to that. And I want to just share with you what I think are three calls from Jesus in this parable this morning. And the first is this, a call to use our gifts. A call to use our gifts. Remember, and this is absolutely vital, these are not gifts that you and I have created or manufactured or bought. The gifts that Jesus is talking about here that you have, every single person here this morning has, and I have, they're given by the Lord to us, and we're to do business with them. This parable is not about prosperity gospel. It's not about if you follow Jesus, he's going to give us money and then we're going to make a fortune and we'll all become billionaires. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about using the resources, using the gifts, using the abilities that he has given us. Doubling our money. There used to be a program on TV called Double Your Money. The guy who got the five talents doubled it. The one who got the two talents doubled it, so he ended up with four. And so the master, when he returns, says to these two people, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Isn't that beautiful? What God does is he expands. You know, serve him faithfully and he gives us more. He entrusts more to us. What a blessing. What a giver he is. And then he concludes, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Sometimes in the church, and I made this mistake in the past, when we think of gifts and talents, we think only of preachers and missionaries. Isn't that right? Oh yes, real ministry is being a preacher or a missionary. Nonsense. Real ministry is being the person God has made us to be and using the gifts and the talents he's given us. Just look at the next slide and you'll see there's a whole variety of talents and abilities that God has given. There's a whole list of spiritual gifts, all of which are mentioned in the New Testament on the right-hand side. As Paul writes to the Corinthians, there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. It is the same God at work in the life of every disciple of Jesus. And every disciple here this morning is to use the gift that God has given us. I love this picture of washing the feet here. What a symbol of humble, selfless service. And in case you can't make it out, the verse that is referred to there is from 1 Peter. As each has received a gift, we're to use it to serve one another. Notice, as each has received a gift, we're to serve it use it to serve one another. Do we know the gifts that God has given us? What is it we're passionate about? It could be anything from encouraging people to giving, to showing hospitality, to praying for somebody. It's not just preaching, teaching, and evangelism. It could be helping somebody, the gift of helps. It could be a prophetic word. It could be a word of knowledge. It could be helping as a musician or a singer, using the gifts. Let's be quite frank about it. If some of us were up here, the church would be empty in 30 seconds. Isn't that right? I remember saying to a member of the choir in Coleraine when I was there, he was a wonderful character, John Thompson was his name, and just before we processed up one Sunday, I whispered in his ear, "John, are you okay for singing the solo this morning?" He says, "Rector, it will be so low they won't hear it." Well, that was a good quick answer, wasn't it? And let's be honest, some of us can't sing for buttons. As a man said to me one day, he says, "I sound like a bull roaring over a gate. You'd never have him up here at the front, never in a thousand years, because that's not his gift." But he had other gifts and was using them for the Lord. So what are the gifts that the Lord has given you and I? Next slide, please. You'll see here again some of the many gifts specifically mentioned in the New Testament, identified. Some it's a gift of leadership. Some it's a gift of service. We can all serve in whatever way. Humble, selfless service. Isn't it fascinating sometimes on TV, from time to time, we'll see a wonderful good news story. I remember, I think, was it during COVID or was it just before, there was a little feature had been put together about a man who'd kept a war memorial tidy for about 60 years. Every day he'd go and just make sure it was clean. Helen and I sometimes go to Donegal on holidays, and there's a wonderful man we know up there, a retired shop owner. He must be about 90 now. Do you know what he does every day? Empties some of the bins in Carrigart. And many people know nothing about it. Selfless service. What is it God has called you to, and are we in it? Are we serving him in that way? Are we using the gifts that God has given? Or, next slide please, are these the way the gifts are? They're still all wrapped up. We never open them. Any Ballymena people here this morning? I'm 50% Ballymena blood. I can tell you, if you come to our house, there's not one present like that from last Christmas. You open the present, you see what's there, and you enjoy it. Isn't that right? And yet, some of us in our Christian lives, we have a pile of gifts given by God, and we're not opening them. We're hiding them, like that foolish man in this story. They're never used. And what is the Lord saying to us this morning? He's saying, I'm calling you to action. I'm calling you to action. Don't just recognize the gifts I've been given. Use them. Use them. Action, isn't that just so important? In Northern Ireland and in the Republic of Ireland, so much damage has been done to the church because of the wrong kind of actions. Christ-like actions change people. Christ-like actions make a difference. Yes, words are important. And the gospel must always be shared in words, but it must be shared in action as well. And in this parable of the talents, Jesus is calling us to action. He's warning against laziness, like that foolish man who buried his talent. He's warning us against apathy. He's calling us to vital living, to take risks for Christ and his kingdom. We are not called to be armchair critics or couch potatoes, criticizing others. And we can all do that. Sit and criticize left, right, and center. No, he's calling us to be Christ-like servants, doing what he has called us to do and being who he has called us to be. One Bible commentator puts it like this. I love this. Christ is coming. Don't just sit there staring dreamily off into the distance. Don't get goofy and act crazy. Don't check out of life. If you really believe in the second coming, then get busy for the Master. There's a work to be done before he returns. But of course, some of us think, oh, but I can't. I couldn't. And we feel so inadequate. That's perfectly understandable. The Apostle Paul felt inadequate and weak at times. But I love this German proverb that I came across in preparing for today. Absolutely love it. Please hear the truth of it, because this is so scriptural. Begin to weave, and God will give you the thread. Begin to weave, and God will give you the thread. In other words, step out in faith. Step out in obedience, using the gifts God has given us, and God will provide for us everything we need. Chuck Swindoll, in one of his books, writes this, and I thought this was so good, which ties in, next slide please, which ties in so well with what we're looking at. Risk more than others think is safe. Care more than others think is wise. Dream more than others think is practical. Expect more than others think is possible. Now, there's a danger in some of those things that he's saying, but there's a wonderful truth in what Chuck Swindoll is saying. And I'll say it again. I'll read it again. Risk more than others think is safe. Care more than others think is wise. Dream more than others think is practical. Expect more than others think it's possible. We're still in holiday time, July and August, just early August. And sometimes, friends, this is a time when maybe it isn't just as busy as it usually is. I wonder, could we set aside sometime this month, before the busyness of September gets going again, just to think and pray, Lord, what is it you're calling me to? And am I going to step out in faith and obedience? Yes, you'll provide the thread that I need. I feel inadequate, but Lord, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to believe those words of the Apostle Paul. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What was that German proverb again? Just look at it. Begin to weave, and God will give you the thread. Finally, there's a warning here to heed as well in this story that Jesus has told. It's a serious warning. It's a sobering warning. And he wants us to learn from the mistake of that foolish servant, the one who buried his talent, who didn't do anything with it, and who really came under the judgment of the Master. The Master is actually furious when he returns, because he sees that this man has been given. Yes, it was one talent, but that was worth a lot. But he hasn't used it. Potential has been unrealized. No profit has been made. He has been unfaithful. And oh my goodness, what sobering words. You wicked and lazy servant. You ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh my goodness, what a sobering truth in this parable. It's horrendous, isn't it? If you think Jesus was trying to get our attention in this parable, you're absolutely right. He was wanting the disciples to get a clear understanding of this. This is so serious. This is actually a life and death issue. Jesus is talking about the day of judgment, when the Son of Man will be surrounded by the holy angels, and he will separate the sheep and the goats. To those who are his sheep, who have used what he has given, who have followed him hard, who have lived lives of faithfulness, to those who have obeyed the Master, however great or however small our talents, the very gates of heaven will fling wide open. But to those who have consistently disobeyed, the gates are closed. And please note, it doesn't matter the size of the talents we've been given, whether it's 5 talents or 2 talents. God is not looking for famous servants. He's looking for faithful servants. Those who have obeyed will hear those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Next slide, please. By contrast, those who have disobeyed will be cast into the outer darkness because they were lazy, they were wicked, they were consistently disobedient. So there it is, folks, the parable of the talents. And you and I have a choice to make. Are we going to use what the Lord has given us, or are we going to waste it? I came across these words some time ago in a book by Simon Gillibod, a wonderful servant of Jesus. And he's quoting a writer who's thinking about the end of his life. And he's getting to the end of his life and he's looking back over his life. And this is what he's thinking. Next slide, please. To sinful patterns of behavior that never get confronted and changed, abilities and gifts that never get cultivated and deployed, until weeks become months, and months turn into years, and one day you're looking back on a life of deep, intimate, gut-wrenchingly honest conversations you never had. Great, bold prayers you never prayed. Exhilarating risks you never took. Sacrificial gifts you never offered. Lives you never touched, and you're sitting in a recliner with a shriveled soul and forgotten dreams. And you realize there was a world of desperate need and a great God calling you to be part of something bigger than yourself. You see the person you could have become but didn't. You never followed your calling. You never got out of the boat. Isn't that heartbreaking? My prayer this morning is, friends, that none of us will be sitting in that recliner at the end of our lives with a shriveled soul, but we'll hear the teaching of Jesus in this parable. Last slide, we'll unwrap the gifts that he's given us. We'll use them, and we'll be men and women and young people who make a difference for Jesus. Our God is a great, great giver. Let's use the gifts he has given to each one of us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our prayer is very, very simple this morning. That you will use us as you will, how you will, and where you will. So that we don't end up as people with shriveled souls. Fill us with your Holy Spirit afresh, Lord. And help us to get out of the boat and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.